U.S. tensions with Russia over the Ukraine have spilled over into space. NASA has suspended all joint activities except the International Space Station. Employees can't email or hold teleconferences with Russian counterparts. Here to discuss that breakup is Marcia Smith, editor of spacepolicyonline.com. Marcia, good morning.
Good morning.
All right, so you write that this is a serious matter that has been announced in a peculiar way. Tell us what you meant.
Well, one would expect that if there was going to be a change in policy between the American Space Agency and the Russian Space Agency, that this would come about as an announcement from the State Department or the White House or something like that, and then it would come over to NASA and NASA would implement it, as opposed to it being announced because an associate administrator of NASA sends an email to the center directors telling them how to instruct their people to change their relationships with Russia, and having that leaked to the press, and then waiting hours and hours for NASA to put out some sort of official statement. And when they put out their official statement, it's tweeted, and it's a link to a Google Plus page, as opposed to their more traditional routes of using press releases and the like. So it did come to light in a very unusual manner.
So they're being antisocial using social media.
Well, I'm not quite sure as to what their plan was, as to how they were going to make all of this known to people outside of NASA as well as inside of NASA. So they seem to have had a plan for internal communications by sending this message out to the center directors, but they did not seem to have a good plan for external communications.
So we know that the International Space Station has Russian and American astronauts working very closely together. Give us a sense, though, of the other programs that NASA regularly has with Russia and how closely they work together.
Well, the International Space Station is far and away the largest part of cooperation with Russia today. And the fact that it's exempted tells you both what a special status it has, and I should mention, by the way, it's not only Americans and Russians who are up there right now. A Japanese is in command of the space station, so it's much broader cooperation than just our two countries. But there is other cooperation, and NASA has not put out a list of all of its cooperative programs. But I do know that, for example, the aeronautics part of NASA does testing in some of Russia's wind tunnels. There is an instrument aboard the Mars Curiosity rover, the very popular Mars Curiosity rover, that is a Russian instrument. And so I think we're going to just have to wait and see how the situation evolves as to how these parts of NASA are going to be conducting their work with Russia or not as the weeks and months go by.
Is it unusual for people at the scientific level and engineering level that have international cooperation to suspend activities like this when the politicians are arguing? I'm not saying it's not to trivialize the matter between the U.S. and Ukraine, but often you find that at the scientific level, business goes on. Is this odd?
There's no question that, generally speaking, in the global scientific community, they like to break down all these barriers and just work collaboratively as scientists and engineers rather than getting involved in politics. But politics has been part of the space program in the past, and I'm sure it will be in the future. And while everyone's focused right now on this relationship between NASA and Russia, there actually is a law that prevents NASA from cooperating with China. So this is not all that unusual in that respect. Politics do get mixed up in these issues.
That's right. And to your knowledge, has this interfered with scientific research at all?
Well, I don't think it has yet. It's a brand new policy. And the message from the NASA administrator yesterday, because he was at a conference put on by scientists and engineers, and he was saying that each situation is going to have to be looked at on a case-by-case basis. And his advice to his employees was to keep doing whatever it is you're doing with Russia unless you're told not to. So it's an evolving situation, and that was a point that was stressed by someone from the White House yesterday, that, you know, we're going to have to take this sort of a step at a time. We'll look at each individual activity, and we'll decide on a case-by-case basis whether or not it should proceed.
We're speaking with Marcia Smith. She's editor of spacepolicyonline.com. And I think poor Laika, the dog, must be spinning in his grave over what's going on now. So, has there been any reaction from the Russian side that we know of?
Pardon me?
Has there been any reaction from the Russian side that we know of?
There's a Twitter account that purportedly belongs to Dmitry Rogozin, who is a deputy prime minister, and he is in charge of the space sector in Russia. And assuming it is actually his Twitter account, this one is in English. There's another one in Russian. But he was very dismissive of it because he was saying that the only real space cooperation is space station anyway.
And this is also perhaps a political point that NASA wants to make here at home, because at the same time that it says that it is cutting off most ties with Russia, it calls for a launch pad here in the United States, again, so that we can send our own astronauts up and we don't need to buy a seat on a Russian rocket. Tell us a little bit about that plan. How far along is it?
Yes, it's not really that NASA's trying to build a launch pad. It's that NASA is trying to facilitate the private sector to build new launch systems to take people back and forth to the space station. The United States can't launch people into space right now because we terminated the space shuttle program with nothing to replace it with. And the strategy right now is to fund companies like SpaceX and Sierra Nevada and Boeing for them to develop these systems in partnership with the government, a public-private partnership. And NASA has been pursuing this, and the companies are working under agreements where they have to meet certain milestones. But Congress has not been providing the amount of money that NASA has been requesting. So NASA had hoped to have these systems ready by 2015. Now it's slipped until the end of 2017.
But in the meantime, we can still take stuff up to the space station using these same suppliers, but they just haven't been certified for people.
There are two different programs. One is called Commercial Cargo, and that's the one that's operational today. And that is two companies, SpaceX and Orbital Sciences. And their spacecraft can take cargo, but they can't take people. Orbital Sciences is not competing for the other program, which is called Commercial Crew. That's these other companies I mentioned. So SpaceX is the common company that's doing cargo, is trying to do crew. But the other two companies dealing with crew are not working on the cargo program.
So if Russia wanted to get really tough, then they could say, you know what, no more rides.
Russia does have that leverage because they are the only way to get astronauts back and forth to the space station. And also, one thing that often gets forgotten is that they are the provider of what are called lifeboat services. So when you've got astronauts up on the space station, they need to get off in an emergency sometimes, and it is Russia that provides the spacecraft that are those lifeboats. So both of those are true. However, Russia is also dependent on the United States for operating the space station. We provide them all the electrical power that they use and navigation for the space station and other services. So Russia and the United States are very tightly bound together in operating the space station. I really don't think that either one could do it without the other.
And so far, have we heard anything from Congress about this suspension of other ties? Although as we talk more and more about it, we realize that the most important ties are far, far from suspended.
Correct. And I have not heard any reaction from Congress yet. And again, it's a brand new situation that's just developing. And the statements from the White House yesterday, again, were trying to sort of calm the waters and to put it into context, because one thing that happened with the way it came out was that it was not apparent that this is part of a government-wide directive. It's not only NASA that's been told to suspend its non-space station activities. It's all government agencies are supposed to look at what they're doing with Russia and on a case-by-case basis decide if it should continue. So it is a much broader effort. It's just that the part that affects NASA became public.
And I guess from your knowledge of the operations inside NASA, are there people that might be sitting around with nothing to do as a result of this policy?
Oh, I doubt that there's anyone sitting around with nothing to do, but I do think that there are people who collaborate with Russian colleagues who are wondering, probably trying to strategize how they're going to do their programs if they don't have that Russian contribution.
They might both have to seek, I don't know, some sort of intermediary so they can have third-party conversations. I want to ask you about the private sectors moving from sending cargo to crew into space. What is the biggest hurdle right now to get to that point where they can send crew into space?
Well, they have to design their systems, and it's much harder, obviously, to take people into space than cargo because people breathe. So you have to outfit your spacecraft with life support systems, and you also need to have an emergency escape plan. Often they put a tower on top of it. You can think of the Apollo program, because that's how these new systems pretty much are going to work. There's one that sort of looks like the space shuttle, but the others are capsules, like an Apollo capsule, and they have a little tower on top so that if something goes wrong during launch, it can pull the spacecraft away and bring the astronauts to safety. So they have to test these abort systems, they have to put in the life support systems, and they have to test them.
And you mentioned that NASA has asked for more money than Congress seems willing to give. What's the discrepancy?
Congress has not been very enthusiastic about either the commercial cargo or commercial crew programs. They're somewhat skeptical that the business plans, it's not so much the technical part of it, but it's whether or not as a business plan these are going to work out. And they're worried that eventually the government will end up spending a lot of money for these contracts because these companies will have the government over a barrel, basically, the way Russia does. And so there's been a lot of skepticism, but the fact that the commercial cargo program now seems to be working out has given them a little more confidence. But on commercial crew, they want NASA to choose only one company to support. Right now they're supporting three, and they're probably going to reduce that to two. But Congress really wants them to knock it down to one so that the program costs less money in the near term. But NASA is intent on keeping at least two companies because they want competition, because they think that will keep the costs down in the long run.
And just out of curiosity, what is Russia's grand goal for its space program? If ours is presumably Mars or asteroids, what's theirs?
The Mars Curiosity is a robotic probe, of course, and the United States and partners have long-term plans for robotic Mars exploration, although the U.S.'s long-term human exploration goal also is sending humans to Mars. Russia has had the same goals even back when it was in the Soviet Union days. So there is an agreement, an accepted plan that the long-term goal for human spaceflight is to send people to land on Mars. And that is not just America and Russia. There is a group of 14 countries that work together under a framework where they coordinate. It's not cooperation, but they coordinate what their plans are. And they came out with a roadmap last year that, and the United States differs from them on what the next step should be. The U.S. wants to send people to an asteroid, and the rest of them want to send them to the lunar surface. So there's some disagreement there, but the long-term goal of going to Mars is there for all of these countries that are involved in human spaceflight.
Marcia, very briefly, are any of those other countries doing the same thing that we have said that we would do with Russia, which is basically suspend all ties?
I have not heard that any other country is doing that.
Marcia Smith is editor of Space Policy Online, also president of the Space and Technology Policy Group. Marcia, thanks so much.
Thanks so much.